Thank you. I use the word efforts kind of because I don't have a clear answer to this. We've been doing some work I'm going to show you, and the efforts take several different tacks. I do want to recognize that the funding for this is from a grant from the Integrated Organic Program, and it's a bigger study than just looking at protein and wheat. We have 5 research objectives, and I'm really going to spend my time on the 3rd one there, but I do want to briefly go over a few of them because the effort is really to improve our organic winter wheat systems in Nebraska, and the wheat breeding part of it is actually a major component of it, and coming up with a wheat that is suitable for the organic milling industry and for our growers in both the east and western part of Nebraska are major efforts. And then this part with the improving protein could be done through the breeding as well as through the management of fertility. Nebraska has a range of agro-eco zones. I'm located at Concord in the eastern part where we have about 25 inches of rain. At Sydney in the western part, the rainfall is much less, some years more than others, but probably about half of what we got. And so right now our wheat growing area is more in this part of the state, and we're trying to improve more of the wheat growing in the east. Just briefly, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this slide, first of all, because I don't always understand it, but it's also outside of my expertise. But what they're doing is rating the quality of the wheat in terms of coming up with the right genetics for the milling industry. And this is very keyed into what the organic growers want to find. And so this has been moving along, and I think we have results that fine-tune this. But what we want to do is come up with varieties, both old and new, that producers can use to grow for their production. One of the items that they are looking at is the coleoptile length so that they could plant and get good survival under harsh conditions. And so there's an effort there to use this as breeding criteria. Our interest in the protein and the soil fertility was started with a master's thesis a while back looking at the protein content comparing organic and conventional. And it wouldn't be a lie to say in the organic, a lot of the producers out west don't have access to manure, and they may be end limiting in cases, and that's what this indicates. So from our work with farmer citizen advisory groups and people like that, farmers wanted to address this low protein. There were standards which sometimes that we did not go beyond or above, and they might have gotten lower price or not been able to market the wheat the way they wanted to. So this was one thing they told us to work on. And not everybody has sufficient amount of animals on their farm, especially again out west, to provide the manure that might be needed. That certainly would be one way to up the nitrogen in the system, but wasn't always available to everybody. Our group of researchers, you might say we're limited by our paradigm, but one of the things we wanted to do was just look at nitrogen and not look at a combined fertilizer where we couldn't really say what was doing what. And those of you who have looked at the OMRI list, it's pretty hard to find just a nitrogen alone source. You know, I guess I'm particularly guilty of this, of wanting to just look at nitrogen and not be combined with microbials or P and K and whatever. So we did find a source which was OMRI approved back 2 or 3 years ago when we started this work. However, it's been taken off the list since then. And some of you in the business probably know more about this. We also found out that even though it was supposed to be 10%, when we analyzed it, it was closer to 7%. But anyway, we started using that because we wanted to look at just putting a little bit of N on late in the season to affect the protein level. Our producers said they didn't really care as much about yield as they did about the protein level. So that was one reason we were going for looking at some kind of late season bump. We had two areas of the state, as I mentioned, that we were working with. I'm up in the Northeast, and so we had some studies there, and then I'll talk briefly about what we did out west. In the initial variety screening, we did a very simple top dress type study where we sprayed the Summit 10 on two of the reps in the variety trial. Two reps did not. It was just across all the varieties. And then we also kind of fine-tuned that as we went along. So in 2008, 2009, essentially if we looked over all those varieties in those variety trials, we got a very slight bump in 1 year using that top dressing and a little bit more in the second year, although there was some significance there that kept our interest. If we looked at the variety by treatment, you could see there are some hybrids that responded better than others, and apparently in the market, the 11% protein level was the one that was kind of a threshold at that time for people buying the grain. So going from 2.7 to 11.8 was really important from selling the crop. We did decide then to do a more imposed full four-factor experiment, and so we, but we looked at things to create, what we want to do is create an environment of different nitrogen levels for the wheat to respond in. So we had a previous crop of corn and or alfalfa. We put three rates of manure on, both in the spring and the fall, and then we used this foliar material in at jointing at three rates, and we had a full factorial of those treatments. Here's an aerial view of our organic farm at the Haskell Ag Lab. We had an alfalfa field. We plowed out the alfalfa, planted corn in blocks like that in 2008, then harvested the corn for silage and planted the wheat on top of that. And here we have just the design. It was split plot with manure rates and then the spring and the fall. And then after that was established, we had the top dress rate across this way. And this would be the block with the alfalfa as the previous crop. So the yields are one of our problems, and I mean, I'm a guy who grew up north of New York City, so I wouldn't claim that I'm a farmer, but you know, for 30 years I was a conventional farmer as a researcher, and then the last few years we've been doing organic farming, and I wouldn't claim that I'm really good at that either. And so we've had some technical problems, and one of them was killing the alfalfa. Someone earlier mentioned that they just sprayed their crops with glyphosate to get their no-end plots. Well, this is certified organic, and we can't do that. So we had an undercutter, and we went through there, but the alfalfa did not die. So we had alfalfa growing in our wheat, and so you need to kind of look at this with jaundiced eyes, because we did not kill the alfalfa, and in moisture-limiting times, having alfalfa growing in your wheat was a negative, even though it probably adds nitrogen to the future. It didn't do us very much good for the wheat. So the wheat averaged 54 bushels following the alfalfa, and following the corn it was 57, so not much difference. And you know, from an end point of view, we'd hope that following alfalfa would be a little bit better, but again, we had maybe moisture competition from the alfalfa. Again, farming technique comes into here. When we put the fall manure on before we planted the winter wheat and we had it incorporated, our spring application of manure was probably a little bit too late. The wheat was growing, and so we did more damage than good when we went on the field. We should have probably gotten it on earlier, but that was a management problem. But we lost 7 bushels there. The grain protein, we did not have much effect of the manure, and there is, because of the cold climate in Nebraska, you know, mineralization, we didn't study that or take the samples, but it usually occurs later than when it would be appropriate for a winter grain. So that was the problem with the manure, and that's why we had a fall application as well as a spring, because we wanted to see if we get some end mineralization in the fall before the winter came. We did get a slight increase there with the top dressing, but it wasn't a major amount. And in this year, our grain protein was above the 11% on all our samples anyway, so it wouldn't really have affected the price too much. Out west in Sydney, they got a little bit of bump. Again, we're not talking about a big big increase in percentage. It's part of a percentage. And here again, it was above 11%, so it really was, even if there was some significance there, it wasn't of a practical nature. And they have even less rain out there. They have less mineralization, and they use the green manure for their imposed treatments. And you can see the design there was not exactly the same because of the cropping systems out in Sydney are different, so they had slightly different treatments. But they kind of found the same thing, that instead of the manure with the green manure, they did have less yield. I think, again, that was due to moisture problems with growing the green manure, the peas. So it's very, in moisture-limiting situations that didn't add the nitrogen, they're following it into the future year, so we may get the end benefit in the subsequent crop. There was no protein difference there. So to conclude, we did affect the protein a little bit by our timing of N, but it was a lot of times it was masked by some of either our weather conditions or some of our farming techniques. It also turns out that we don't have very deficient fields in northeast Nebraska. Our organic area there, the spray levels were 19-20 parts per million, so adding compost, and that improved the soil test values, but they weren't in the realm where they were yield limiting to begin with. I did notice, like in our study, where after we harvested wheat, the alfalfa actually regrew, and we probably could have taken another cutting that fall. We didn't do that, but if we're looking at the analysis of this, we should really look at it over a 2 or 3 year period, because that extra alfalfa, we probably could have gotten a ton or a ton and a half, and that would have added $80 or $100 to the budget. So when we analyze these type of experiments, we have to look at a longer range than just the wheat crop that we take off. Thank you.